Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
So we come back and Dorit's like, well, you keep saying this, Coyle, that everyone else is having the erratic conversation with you. So I'm going to ask everyone, Amanda, did you go to Coyle and say Dorit is acting Amanda? And Amanda's like, Sutton, did you go to Coyle and say Amra? And I was like, oh my God, is she going to literally go around to every person? Come on, Dorit, I'm trying to be on your side, but you're killing me here.
I just drove my son across the country and you want to ask me these questions. Okay, next person.
I'll tell you who's being erratic. The snack machines that are no longer dropping Fritos when people are pressing the buttons because my son is not there to fix them. Okay.
Excuse me. I was only relating it to my own experience when I first separated of feeling very all over the place and ADHD and not clear and working out too much and like scattered. And that's all I meant by erratic. And then it came a whole huge thing. I'm like, yes, well, maybe you should have sat down with Dorit and said, hey, when I was separating from Pete, from Mauricio, it sort of made me unfocus, yada, yada, yada. I want to do a check-in with you because you've been running later than usual. I noticed you were like spending a lot of money and I want to make sure everything is okay because it has me like a little concerned and, you know, something like that. But she didn't.
Well, this just also wasn't true. I mean, this wasn't anything. It's not true what Coyle is saying. Coyle went around all season being like, oh my God, you guys, something's wrong with Dorit. Have you noticed how she's acting? And they're like, not really. Well, I mean, you know, like there's like the being late thing. And then there's, I mean, I don't know. Dorit's just like ever since her divorce. Compared to how you acted and how Erica acted when shit was hitting the fan, you were sobbing in Aspen, screaming at everybody, losing your shit all over the floor, shaking Dorit, being like, yo, choosing Katina. You were acting fucking insane. Dorit has not done any of that. I don't know how they're getting this. Like, Dorit is late. The whole plot of this show with Dorit is that Dorit is always late. We all know it. It's disgusting. I think it's horrible behavior on Dorit's part, by the way. But other than that, what did she even do? I just don't get like what the list of complaints even is.
I mean, I'm not going to go so hard and be like, oh, like, what did she even do? Because let's be honest, we've said this before, and you've sort of mentioned it. When people go through these breakups, they do have like this period where they just become really self-involved and they just, all they talk about is the breakup. All they do is the breakup. Everything is just about it. And it's like, it's a drain and it's a lot. And you see them acting out and they go through it. People go through it. And so I for sure believe that Dorit is probably acting in ways where they're like, oh my God, like she needs to like rein it in a little bit. But I don't think, like you said, I think Erica acted way more, you know, deranged when she went through her thing as well. And I don't think that there was nearly this much energy put into it from Coyle, you know, at all.
Yeah. I just don't see the energy coming back the other way. Like, I think that when they were going through their stuff, Dorit was like, oh, honey, that's bad. And kind of being on their side, whereas she's late and they're like, oh my God. And I say they, but I mean Coyle, because Erica's stuff didn't really come until the end. But I think Coyle is just, you know, trying to build this case the whole time. And it's like, no Coyle one did never, that to you. You know, if anyone,
yeah, no one did that to,
it should be you, because she was supportive during your stupid divorce or your the beginning of your separation.
I think what we are all detecting is that Coyle having just gone through it, Coyle having witnessed Erica go through this, and all of them having seen this or been through it, should just be coming with from more of a space of empathy, you know, of like, okay, Dorit, we understand what you're going through. We've been through it too. We're here to help you. Whatever, but not like, oh my God, she's just acting really erratic. I think the erratic thing really was, that is the sticking point there. And I think that even though Coyle says, I used the wrong word, I don't think that she believes she used the wrong word.
Yeah, because then she's saying, I used the wrong word. I mean, maybe I just meant like me, you know, because I get ADD or I get this and that, or I get, you know, maybe I work out too much. Yeah, but then when Dorit said, Coyle, you're acting a little weird, like you're working out all the time, you're with this other friend and ignoring everybody else all the time, Coyle had a fit about it. It was like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. We're not even real friends. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never been your friend. I mean, you don't even exercise. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of hypocritical. So then Dorit's like, okay, look, because Kyle's like, you're trying to be like, you're taking what everyone else is saying and you're trying to make me look bad about it. And she's like, okay, listen, Kyle, I'm trying to stick with one thing right now. One point, I spent $4,000 in one of Rachel's friend's stores, and they cleared that store just for us to shop. And nobody bought anything but me. And I didn't want to not buy anything because it was Rachel's friend's store who was starving in the Hamptons. And if I hadn't bought something, Rachel's friend would have been out on the street looking like a stick with a caftan on it with hair dragged all over the street. That's Rachel. Sorry, Rachel, no offense. But you know, I was helping the poor people of the Hamptons.
You know what? If I didn't help them, they were going to be sent off to Quag, and we don't want that. You know, I'm being judged by you and having you go around to the group and saying that's a lot of money to be spending, especially coming from you of all people. And Kyle's like, well, you know what? I'm not in the same financial position as you. Sorry. And Teresa's like, oh.
I mean, that's true. I mean, Kyle is much better off than Dorit, but... But it's also funny because they also raked Sutton over the coals last year for saying basically the same thing, like pick on someone whose wallet fits.
And yeah, that was Kyle's wallet fits moment, and then everyone's fine with it, you know.
Yeah,
Dorit was, and I mean Dorit just laughed because she gasped and then she laughed because that's so low. It's like that's the lowest. It's like, oh well, you're poor, so. Yikes. So Dorit,
basically like, what Kyle was saying
know
is
my
like,
financial position because you speak to Mo and Mo speaks to PK. Just see it, Kyle. And Eric goes, well, your house is being foreclosed on. Okay, you.
Okay, yeah, that's you. The thing. I feel like
who
Kyle,
the fuck are you?
Basically what this comes down to, what this really ultimately comes down to is you're spending a lot of money and you don't have any money. And I know you don't have a lot of money. And whatever money you do have, PK is going to take. So you shouldn't be spending this money if you were smart. But I don't want to say that on TV. So I'll just heavily imply it. But it's just funny because Kyle never came for Erica for what Erica spends. And for as well, we can tell Erica is facing $25 million, this $25 million lawsuit and has all these other debts and creditors and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. So yeah. it just always feels hypocritical with Kyle. It just feels like there's like a larger thing that she's trying to go for, that she's mad about, you know?
Yeah. Two things I would say. Erica did downsize, but she was forced into downsizing, right? Cause everything was being taken. So Erica did downsize and do all of that and like supposedly spend less, even though she's still driving around Ferraris or whatever the fuck Porsche or whatever she's driving around. But yeah, Erica's a fucking hypocrite. She needs to stay quiet in this section. But because no one gave her shit over the financial stuff. And they really should have, because Erica was really bragging for years and years about all this money stuff. But then you've got Dorit. Dorit has never had the money that her and PK have been spending. I don't know. You want to talk about a house of cards. Dorit and PK have been living on top of one forever. I cannot believe it hasn't crumbled. I mean, we've seen her being followed around by that lady, like, why don't you pay my friend back all the money you owe him at that swimming pool? I mean, it's been swirling for years that these two are about to go down. So as far as Kyle knows, and Kyle knows all this shit, so as far as Kyle knows, Dorit has always been spending above her means, and she's always been doing this stuff. She's just choosing to make it an issue now because she's trying to turn everyone against Dorit. Like, if this was your real problem with Dorit, then you would have had this conversation years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dorit is like, well, I hope to God things stay amicable between you and Mo. I really hope nothing turns. Kyle goes, me too.
But if and when it does, which may be very soon when you claim next week that you own half the agency, but if and when it does, maybe, just maybe, you'll find it difficult to sit in rooms and talk to your girlfriends for support, only to find out they're either judging you, talking behind your back, giving themselves bangs, or suggesting, oh yeah, your husband doesn't seem like that. I'm so surprised.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Speaking of your finances, and by the way, Dorit has a great point there, which is like she just wants the support of her girlfriends. And just at like every moment, Kyle is like being like, well, what about this? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And I think that's why this whole erratic thing is not hitting Dorit properly. That's why she's upset about it. Because it's not that Kyle just says this in a vacuum. She's saying it in the larger context of having been a shitty friend to Dorit during this entire process of like sending jokes and memes to PK last year and having to be told multiple times to stop it and then reluctantly stopping it and then being like, see, I'm not texting PK. And then turning it into, well, everything becomes about Kyle and, oh my God, I can't say these things, but Bose can say it. Kyle has not been a friend, like a good girlfriend. And also there's been the larger context of Kyle denying that they even were friends 2 years ago. So in the background of all that, if Kyle says, yeah, she's been acting erratic, yeah, that's going to really piss off Dorit because she just doesn't know what Kyle's motivations are anymore. It's not coming from a pure place. And Kyle seems shocked that the purity of her intentions are questioned. But the truth is that she poisoned her own well.
Yes. And I think she is totally on PK's side and trying to work against Dorit. I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense. She hates Dorit's guts. I'm sure she still sees PK with Mauricio and all of that. So,
well, she
and
is.
And also this was happening behind Dorit's back for the longest time. She didn't find this out until like halfway through the season that Kyle was saying all this shit behind her. She thought she was fine with Kyle. Mm-hmm. So, well, I don't know. Fine, but better with Kyle. And then Kyle kept starting this shit with everybody behind her back. So, you know, Kyle, Dorit has been helping you with your tricks for years. She knows what your tricks are. She's helped you do it to other people. So she knows what you're doing, Kyle.
Where do we think that Kyle lost her taste for Dorit? It seemed like it happened around the Morgan Wade era. Was it the Dorit and Mauricio rumors? Was that it?
I thought the moment I saw it turn was when Dorit took Kathy's side in Aspen.
Oh, yeah.
When Kyle was going crazy against Kathy, and Dorit's like, okay, well, maybe you're like overreacting a little bit. Like, I don't think Kathy is doing all these big evil things that you say she's
doing. That was it.
She didn't even go that far. She was just like not screaming at Kathy for Kyle, and Kyle had a fucking fit. And then later at the reunion, there was something with Kathy too that Dorit, she was like, why are you sticking up for Kathy?
That was 100% it. Thank you. I totally forgot about that. It was 100% that she bit off Dorit's head for no reason, but over that stupid argument. And then, and then it's been downhill ever since. And she intentionally withheld anything about Morgan Wade from Dorit, I think, to punish her and then act like they weren't friends. Okay. So moving on. Otherwise, we're going to be here for 5 more hours. So Dorit's like, you better hope it stays amicable. So Annie goes, speaking of your finances, last year at this stage, we discussed your home being in pre-foreclosure, but you had thought then that PK had resolved it. Well, so I thought, but it turns out that the only thing he had taken out of pre-foreclosure was a can of Pringles. The rest is still being seized by the bank.
And all he meant by pre-foreclosure is that he hadn't closed the Pringles. He left them open. I said, why? Where is the closure? Please, PK.
Apparently he had said P for closure, as in hand me a Pringle. He calls them peas sometimes because he's going to be closing his mouth around it.
America goes,
cut it down, size.
Oh, God, Erica. I don't know. Will her husband's lawyer front her the money to get a house in West Hollywood? Erica. Dorit's like,
well, it's not about staying in the house. It's about the fact that I believed he was paying the mortgage, so I was blindsided.
Dorit, now, you were not completely blindsided. You know that you all have not been able to pay that shit for years. But I'll go with you on this. PK did say, apparently, he was going to pay the mortgage. Why you're trusting PK, I still don't know. Do you have a lawyer? Do we know yet if Dorit even... What is she doing?
I don't have a lawyer. But what I do have are several bikini bottoms from Beverly Beach. And I think that will do pretty well.
I do have a slawyer. That's the person who makes different kinds of coleslaw in case PK stops by to see the children. To stay away from the chips.
Slawyer.
It's my fault.
Gotta get because the roughage into him.
I should have been checking and not trusted or believed him.
So you weren't checking that he was paying the mortgage?
No.
Do you even know what a mortgage is?
Isn't that who Kyle's dating? That's Morgan, not mortgage.
So, a mortgage is not a lesbian country singer. No.
She has not said either way what her orientation is. So let's not make any assumptions about Morgan Wade.
What do I care where she's from?
She could be from the Orient. She could be from Russia. What do I know? The orientation, Dorit. What is it, the first day of school?
I have a question. I have to get this off my chest. Kyle, how much was it?
What?
The thing that she weighed. What do you mean? Morgan Wade. What did she weigh? What was it?
Wade. W-A-D-E.
Is her last name very little? She's a tiny, tiny girl. She can't have weighed much.
By the way, did you see that Morgan Wade was cast on the new show Dutton Ranch? The new Yellowstone spinoff?
I did not see that.
It's going to be star Morgan Wade.
I saw that. But it's so funny because I saw a commercial with that lady, like Kelly, who's in Yellowstone. You know what?
Oh, yeah, I liked her.
I've already bored myself with this. Good for Morgan Wade. You did it. PK is going to pay things and it's supposed to be up to date and yada, yada, yada. So then Dorit is like, listen, I know exactly what I need to be doing, everyone. Okay, well, people have been shocked over your lack of knowledge regarding your finances. Wait, let me scratch that. People have been shocked over your lack of knowledge.
I was going to say, just period.
Period.
Well, Amanda, I have to clear up a statement you said about me, about outsourcing my financial well-being to a min, and that it didn't go well.
And Amanda's just like, uh-huh, okay. And we see the clip of Eddie going, maybe she's intimidated by you, girl. And Amanda's like,
because I'm young and successful and not financially dependent on a man, and she's outsourced her financial well-being to a man, and it didn't go well.
And it's like,
that was a good quote, I forgot.
So, this is the best quote Amanda had all season. That was the quote in the preview that we were like, oh my God, this housewife is going to be amazing. Because she gave us another Erica Jane.
It was in the snow. We got burglarized and the burglar came in. They hit Tom in the eye or whatever.
Was the only one. That was the only one.
That was the only season. Time she ever had that moment. Yeah. Russ was like, can I get some ceremonial grade almond milk? By the way, I did see on Threads, I forgot to mention this like 2 weeks ago, someone was like, oh God, this woman, half almond milk, half oatmeal milk. And she was like, yes, oatmeal milk. She said oatmeal milk, oat milk for the creaminess, almond milk because it's fewer calories. So that is the method to her madness, if anyone is wondering about. I'm sure that like that difference of calories between going all huge almond milk versus half and half. Wow. That's the difference between two sizes of jeans.
Huge. You know, it is funny though, because Housewives does seep into your brain when you watch it a lot. And I was at the coffee shop the other day and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a matcha. That's fun. Cause I, you know, I hear about it on this show. That's why it was in my head. I got it. It was the nastiest shit I've ever tasted. I was like, what is this, mud? I think I used to get it where it had sweetness and like milk. And I don't know what this was, but it was nasty. So thanks a lot, Amanda.
Yeah.
It made me weigh $7.
Go fuck yourself. So Dorit is like saying,
listen, Amanda, I did not outsource my financial well-being to any man. PK was just coming out of bankruptcy when I met him, and we built everything together. And she's like, okay. So that statement is not only inaccurate, it was offensive.
And so, by the way, what did they build together?
Yeah, could we have a list?
That sounds great.
Because the one I have is not very promising. I can tell you that.
I know.
Beaches by Dorit, or Beverly Beach, the Buca de Beppo room, the Shahada wedding dress thing, whatever that was. What else do we have? PK, Boy George. I mean, how much could that be bringing in? No offense, boy. PK's TV show in London that lasted like 10 episodes or something.
Oh, she did. She got to do that, that Pantone.
Yeah, she got to do the pantomime thing. So, I don't know.
Pantone.
So
that was offensive, Amanda.
And Rachel's like, yeah, it feels like you're insulting a lot of women who have had children and decided to focus on raising their children instead of making money.
Yeah.
How dare you.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't believe that whatsoever. She's like, well, no, look, You can have a man be in charge of money and still know what's going on with your money, even if you're like not making the money personally. And that can be a totally wonderful life. I mean, look, Look at my husband. He would love to be in charge of the money. Unfortunately, he's a huge pussy and can barely make 10 cents every single day.
Well, I was shocked because I thought she doesn't know me at all.
And but she does, because what she's saying is exactly you. I mean, I don't think it's crazy advice to be like, know what's going on in your money. And we see other housewives tell each other that all the time. And Amanda's like, listen, all I want is
for all women to know what's going on with their money. And I don't think that not knowing is a good plan. And I can see that it would be hurtful, though. So I'm sorry, Dorit.
And Amanda's like, Dorit, as we close out this godforsakenly boring segment about Dorit, what's the state of your divorce proceedings? So she's like, listen, every time you ask me, I would really like to be saying, everything is good. But I just can't. You know what? It wasn't the truth. But right now, think good. This is the first time in 2 years that things are good. Things are good, Auntie.
I'm really happy to hear that. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I wasn't really listening to what you said. Well, I've been waiting for you to ask me how things are. And I just couldn't wait to tell you. Thanks a lot for waiting all the way to the end of my segment to just ask the simple question. How are things with me and PK? Thanks a lot.
Okay, moving on. Just one more thing, Emmy. Oh, God. I just wanted to say, I have been going through so much. Okay, we're moving on. All right, Amanda. This season, Money Queen Amanda Francis was the new girl on the block, and everybody hates her guts. Let's watch some Amanda clips.
So we see Amanda just being annoying as hell.
I'm the breadwinner. I've always been the breadwinner. I love being the breadwinner. I love it. Let's be clear. I bought the house. Eddie and I have renovated it together, but I bought it.
Well, Amanda, not since Camille Grammer in season one have I seen someone enter and light up the audience so fast.
Excuse me. I know Camille Grammer. I've watched Camille Grammer, and you, Amanda Francis, are no Camille Grammer.
You are no Camille Grammer. I was shocked that Andy said this, but I think this was also the biggest diss, because Camille Grammer was the most hated housewife of all time when she first came on. You know, and I think I'm just saying that not everybody really liked her that much when she came on. You know,
came off, and it's just so upsetting.
So this was a huge diss. I mean, she was like on the cover of, what was it, People or Time or something. And it was like, the most hated housewife of all time, Camille Grammer.
Well, Judy from Judytown asked, does Amanda realize every time she talks about her husband, she makes him sound like a freeloader?
Okay, well, I want to clear something up. Eddie works. He's a wonderful man. He takes care of me in a million ways. And he knows I'm super proud of the fact that I make more money than him. He tries. Like, every day he goes out to that curb and he puts out a little skillet and says, money, please, money, please, money. And sometimes he brings back $25. And I'm like, you did it. Good for you. And then I feed him some soup. And then the next day he goes out and does it again. It's so cute.
But how does he feel about you putting him on blast? My ex would have died. My ex would have died.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that Eddie said was, you know, and Rachel goes, oh, yeah, because like you said that you paid for the house. No, I did pay for the house. I just want more women to know that they can do it, too. They can buy houses.
But, like, out of respect for your husband to endorse you, like, maybe you shouldn't say that.
She's like, well, the only thing he did say was, like, you know, when I said that I make more than a month than he makes in a year, he said, that's true. And maybe you didn't have to say it that way. And it is true.
I was like, okay, so you didn't listen to him at all. He was like, that's kind of embarrassing. She's like, I don't care. So Erica says, well, do you see how you're potentially planting seeds of contempt that could blossom years down the road?
Because if you plan to be with this man forever, when you say things like this, they get buried. They fester.
Yeah, but like as he sees the things as this show comes out, we're next to each other in bed and we're talking. And I can say, hey, this is what I meant. And if you want to have food on your plate tomorrow, you'll say, it's okay, I forgive you. Otherwise, you can try to find some scraps on the street.
Yeah, but, you know, it's going to fester. You know, seeds are being planted, and then they're going to blossom, and shit fucks up, and then you're going to pay for it later. Trust me, the later you're going to be standing on some tiny street in some shithole out West Hollywood, whatever that is, wondering the next time you're going to
they're going to try to force you to go to prison because two queens are chasing you for an Amex bill that you went to the feds about.
So you're telling me how my husband feels? Is that what you're doing right now?
Well, I'll tell you. When you emasculate your husband who adores you, like, it doesn't matter how much money is made. I would just never say that about anybody, especially on television. Rachel, I don't know if you've heard what you've been saying on television lately, but also I'm not really worried about a man being emasculated.
That's the thing. I actually did not love that. Like, it's more like, you don't want to, like, ridicule your partner, how much your partner is making. It's not about emasculation. Like, and men do enough shit that, like, if a guy gets emasculated once in a while, they can deal with it. Okay. But it's like, you don't want to ridicule the person that you love. I make more money than him. Like, it's just like an obnoxious thing to say. And you can, like, try to, like, you know, guss it up by saying, I just want women to know that they can, like, make money. It's okay for women to make money. They can make more than their husband. That's fine. But, like, you're ridiculing your husband, and that's your life partner. And, like, you shouldn't be doing that.
I think Sutton explained it better. She's like, well, look at myself. Okay. Like, with my marriage, if he had said those things about me, like, well, I'm the bread maker, I brought this house and this and that. And then, you know, there's little old me with my baby arms. Like, well, great for you. You know, I mean, that builds up resentment is what we're saying. So I thought that was a better way to say it.
I can't believe if my husband ever said he was the bread maker, I'd be like, oh, and where's my bread? You're the bread maker. Oh, was I supposed to say bread winner?
I'd say, you know what? You take up a lot of counter space. Really. For something that just brings out big, thick blocks of bread that smell like nothing but yeast. Never understood those machines.
I guess now would be a good time to admit that my ex-husband was just a machine.
Oh, this isn't a gang up on you, by the way. This is life. Okay, Erica.
Well, I asked him if he felt emasculated, and he said no. I mean, granted, it was while he was waxing my legs, but still...
So then he put on his tutu and pranced out of the room.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
It's like, okay, so the criticism was not limited to how you speak to Eddie. I mean, you were also getting critiqued for millennial phrases, bragging about your...
By the way, I love that, critiqued for millennial phrases.
Bragging about designer labels. Was there anything in particular that surprised you about how the heat that you got? Well, I mean, the designers a bit. I thought I was on a show about rich women with cool shit and a lot of designer talk.
And then this is where Erica goes,
that's one part of the show you're on. It's not the lead part of the show you're on. The lead part is your fucking heart and soul.
Like, Erica, can we see those yet? It's been about 9 years.
You have never had a heart and soul. This is your 9th year on television. What are you talking about? The only time you showed any kind of emotion is when you got your money taken away. You know, which
you
is
only
a big
just found out about empathy.
You learned about empathy last year.
Yeah, just Erica is not the person to be saying this. I'm sorry.
Yes. She's not, and also the bragging. Erica has done nothing but brag on this show until she lost it. But she spent 6-7 years talking about, oh, my private plane. They can't do this. Look what I have. Look at my Chanel this, my Versace this, my no. So please.
Yeah. But I think that the vibe of the show is that you're not supposed to just be like, I got this and I got this and I got this. You just are supposed to say, like, hi, everyone. And then you wait for Kyle to be like, oh, my God, is that like a Fendi? It's like, oh, yeah, I got this. You have to, like, be asked first. And if you ask, if you're asked first, then you have free reign to be like, I got this and this.
It is an art form to come on this show and not come off like a total asshole. You know, it's like, I have all of these things. I'm fabulous, you know, and I think that's one thing that a lot of them do well on the show. Vanderpump was the queen of it. I don't feel like she was ever like Jennifer Tilly is a little bit tacky, I think, sometimes. Whenever they say something, it's like, well, this is a Chanel. You know, she is kind of tacky, but it's like so fun. It's like she's so fun and cute about it. And also she's so excited because she's really collecting vintage
things. She imbues excitement.
Like, it's like her hobby. You know, she's like a hobbyist. I don't know. Amanda's just kind of that, I don't know, kind of trashy. It's like you're in a cheesecake factory and there's someone, she's like a Teresa Giudice type who's just wearing a Chanel that's kind of crooked on the logo's kind of crooked on the t-shirt. And then she's wearing like LV printed skirt. And then, you know, everything's labels. And she's like, look, it's LV. It's like, oh,
yeah. It's also like what she's bragging about is like so basic on this show. Like, yes, those are designer labels. Yes, they are expensive. But like, you just went to the store and got it. Whereas like, there's a certain amount of curation that someone like Jennifer Tilly has, or access that Sutton has, that like, it's like, ooh, I got this from a special place. But Amanda's just kind of, from my impression, is accessing this clothing the way Teresa accesses it, which is not a special thing, right?
It's she like, looks Teresa like a tourist tchotchke shop. You know, she looks like someone went into one of those tchotchke shops in New York and just came out wearing a Statue of Liberty foam hat on their head. You know, so that's what she's giving.
She just doesn't know how to be wealthy. She got her money, but she doesn't know how to actually be a rich person. So Erica is like, Erica's like, yeah, we had a hard time getting to a heart and soul. So Andy goes,
she
breaks
her own heart. She's like, look, it's my heart. Clink, clink. We had a hard time getting your heart and soul.
By the way, I will be remixing that on my next DJ gig. So Andy goes, ding dong on Twitter says, Amanda needs, that was a real one. No need to change the name because that one was fun enough. Ding dong on Twitter said, Amanda's need to one up a Khabib is exhausting. And Poopy Face from Poopzilla said, what's up with Amanda mentioning labels so much? What is there to prove? You're talking to a Hilton, for goodness sake.
Well, I thought everyone brought up labels. I brought it up often on the show. There would be like a pause or a silence after it, but other people would say their label names too.
And we're on the set of Rodeo Drive, guys. Come on, to be fair. I mean, this set is pretty tacky, too. Are we going to yell at the set?
Kyle's like, well, I mean, did you feel like you had to do that? Because, you know, just because you were in this group? Because it kind of came off that way.
Yeah, you know what? I saw you in Sedona say to our cameraman, make sure to get a shot at my Chanel bag.
As if Dorit and Erica and all of them never said that. I'm sure Erica's had scenes where she,
they're all so tacky.
Berlin in the red latex strutting down the path and almost getting run over by a bike. But she was definitely having a moment like, let's have a moment of my outfit, you know?
Or Kyle walking Erica's, like, purse straight to the camera all the time, being like, oh my God, it's my new Birkin.
Yeah. But maybe Erica was just more upset that Amanda actually talked to someone on the crew.
Like, how could you talk to one of the poor people? Cameraman, disgusting.
We may be poor, but we're not that poor. Okay. So she's like, you cannot lead with that shit. We are too old and too experienced.
God, whoa. Erica.
She said the O word. That was bold.
So she's like, we want you, not the vanilla.
You know, it felt that way, but I should stop talking. Okay, finally we agree on something. Rachel, you said you have a hard time with Amanda because she acts strong, but she plays the victim at the same time, and also she's just simply not famous enough for her to occupy your brain space. Yeah.
She's like not even Demi Moore. She's like little, oh wait, I'm, don't talk to Demi Moore anymore because she stole Brad from me. She's like, not even Jennifer Garner, better comp. I think the conflict that I've had with you is like what you said, like how you want to teach women and like want to walk into every room and like everyone knows who you are. Like, who do you think you are? Like on the set of Cheers? That was a joke.
But I never said I want to walk into a room and everyone knows who I am. She goes,
you said that every room you walk into, everybody knows who you are. And so we see the flashback of her saying, outside this group, I walk into places and everyone gets me and everyone loves it. And all my friends take my course. So I think what she was saying was, I'm used to people who know me and get me.
Yeah. This was a bastardization by Rachel Zoe, I would have to say.
Yeah.
Amanda was like, look, I walk into rooms like they know my courses. They understand. They get me. But they're like, oh my God, like you like want to be famous? Like that's disgusting, want to be famous. I'm like, Rachel Zoe, you are a stylist. Your entire career was about like climbing up the ranks of Hollywood. Okay, let's you're very talented at what you do. We all have enjoyed you on this show, but let's also not forget that you rose up.
A stylist calling someone fame hungry is like.
Yeah, like I'm not going to do that. Like I'm not going to do that. Like you're fame hungry too. You reached it. You did it. You were one of the ones that broke through. But let's not act like that, right? Because you could have been a stylist for anyone else.
Yeah, and she's like, well, that's not what you said in the moment. And she goes, well, I said it to Reed's book party. And like, maybe that's how you took it, but that's not what I meant. And she's like, no, that's not how I took it. That's what you said. And because you say things like that and you don't follow up with an explanation of why you're saying it, like, how could I hear it differently? Right. So like, I'm like, who actually is this? Like, ugh.
God, why do I, like, I want to throw a dollar at her face? Like, God, unfortunately, I don't carry cash anymore. Do you have a QR code?
I do carry moisturizer. And I also have an extra Hermes bangle because my son gave it to me. That's not bragging. It's different. So Amanda's like, well, if, you know, because if you knew who I was, like what I do, you'd know that, like, that wasn't what I meant. But I don't know who you are or what you do or anything.
We're
about
trying
you.
To like, know you. We're trying. You rubbed us all the wrong way. And it's hard to do in this group.
And Amanda goes, well, I did it. And they're like, oh, God, what is that proving? But also, Erica, you know who else? You know who else rubbed everybody the wrong way in this group? You. Everybody hated your ass the first year. Everyone thought you were some dumb hooker. No one would give you any attention. The only one who was nice to you was Yolanda. Everyone else treated you like absolute dog shit your first year because you were doing this kind of thing. I mean, I would have more respect if Erica was like, listen, I came on here and all I did was brag about my money. And now look, I got humbled real quick. You need to watch yourself. Or yeah. I came on here and I bragged about my money. I look like a total asshole. Nobody wanted to be my friend either. But I chilled out the next year and people were cool. But for her to be coming from this place of like, oh, we're just Beverly Hills ladies and we get it and you don't. It's like, girl, you did not. You never got it until your money was taken away.
The strong point here is that Amanda is fucking annoying. And like that is unassailable. Amanda is annoying.
And that is
she
true.
Is braggy. She's braggy but you see and what annoying. I'm and she says like obnoxious things. But they've got Marcia Clark on this one. And they are not going to get the guilty verdict.
Yes. But you see what I'm saying about this giving me so many weird feelings? Because I agree that Amanda is so obnoxious. I don't want Amanda back. But the way they were coming at her, I was like, yeah, you know, none of you, you're all hypocrites.
It's like, very Vanderpump Rulesian. It's just a lazy Susan of awfulness. It just depends on which plate is going to stop in front of you first. It's just, they're all like, at any given moment on this reunion, I am on one person's side and against another. And then the lazy Susan moves and that same person that I was on their side, I am now against. I think they are all being very hypocritical. I do think that Amanda is by and large annoying and terrible, but I think that the points that they're trying to get her on are the wrong points. And so they're not going to win on that one. And like every point they're trying to hammer home for her, she is correct on. Amanda's correct on those points, but like it doesn't take away from the fact that she is annoying as fuck.
Yeah, and I think you're right. They're just coming at the wrong points. And the only point that they can really win here against Amanda is, Amanda, we don't like you. You're annoying and you don't fit in. So, bye.
Yeah.
We're not hanging out. Because that's really it. And they're trying to say it in all these other ways. So, now we get to the Bose thing. So, she said, Andy's like, Amanda, in an interview, you said that Bose tried to market a personal development brand. It did not go well. She's losing money on those courses, and she told me so. And Bose is like, when the hell did I tell you that my business was losing money? She's like, in the vineyard. That is crazy. Girl, I did not tell you that. And why would I have told you that? Why? Because let us consider our relationship at that point. Let us pretend for 1 second that I was losing money, which I'm not. Why would I confide that in you? It's like,
it wasn't a moment of confiding. You're basically saying that if I'm losing money on courses, there's no way that you could be making money on courses unless you were doing something wrong. Basically, Amanda's saying that Bose said, if I'm losing money, there's no way you could not be losing money or something like that. So Bose's like, that doesn't make any sense, Amanda. It's like, no, but that's what you said. That's not what I said. Well, I think they have it on camera. They don't because I didn't say that. And now the flashback.
Here Bose it comes. Says, they do the in online fact workshops, have it on camera.
She goes, the online workshops, that's not the main thing I do for work, you know? She goes,
but it makes me curious, though, because we have that overlap of something that we make money from.
She's like, no, I don't make money off it. I lose money on it.
She's like, well, yeah. She goes, but I'm okay with that because that's the choice I made. So I think what Bose was saying is like, that's just part of my thing. That's not my whole business. It's part of, you know, but she did technically say what Amanda is saying that she said. If Amanda misunderstood it, that's fine. But Bose to be like, that is insane to say that I would ever say that I was losing money because you did say it.
I think what we see is what we saw from last year is that Bose has seminars, like big seminars in person that people come to. And here she says the online workshops she loses money on. But what Amanda just told Bose was, you said you're losing money on your business. And she's like, I'm not losing money on my business. But she is not. Like, the online workshops, I guess, would be like maybe a loss leader or something like that. But I think this is a misunderstanding personally.
Yeah, because they were specifically talking about online businesses. Amanda was saying, we both have online businesses, and that's what we have in common, or whatever. So, whatever. So then Bose is saying, well, the online workshops, that's not what I do for work. That's not the main thing. And she goes, yeah, but it makes me curious, though. Oh, no, that's, sorry. So we come back, and Bose is saying, in addition, I'll let you know, because I need to clarify this comparison between our online courses. You have an online business. I have a teaching course, not an online business. Wouldn't that be an online business? I mean, you're selling stuff online.
But it's like it's part, like her business is, I think what she's saying is that her business is something larger than that. This is just a component of it. She goes, I have a course and it's based on a class that I taught at Harvard for 3 semesters. It gives people the chance to understand the keys I did not have as a business person, so they understand how to negotiate for a better raise, promotions, how to present in a boardroom. So for me, that's not about making money. My class is to open the door for people who can't go to Harvard. You are promoting your business and setting up your margins so you can be rich as fuck. She's like, yes, I am. Thank you.
I like that Amanda was like, uh-huh. Yeah, that is what I do. She's like, that is not my intention. And Andy's like, so it's a charitable venture. She goes, absolutely. Well, no. I mean, it's you pay to take those courses. I mean, I've looked up those courses. Those are hundreds of dollars too.
We looked those.
Yeah, but they're not charity. But they're not charity, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's okay.
It's not a charitable.
I think she's allowed to charge money for it. But I think. Maybe it's not a charitable venture.
She's allowed to charge money for it. I'm not dissing her courses. Yeah. I'm just saying she's trying to, first of all, the difference that she's outlining in her courses are vast, obviously. Like what she does is different. I get what she's saying. I'm just saying it's not a charitable venture.
Right. So Rachel's like, she's like trying to be like a mentor, just sort of how like I'm like a mentor for Sky and for Kaius moisturizing. I was like, yes, so that's not a failure.
She's like, well, I didn't say it was a failure.
Yes, you did, Kelly.
No, she's saying that you said it was a failure. She's not saying it's a failure. She's saying you said you were losing money, which you did say. So, oh my God. Like,
well,
and then at the end, it really boils down to, like, why do I even care? It's just, I don't like it. I'm like, what are you doing? Why can't you just admit that you said that, but you meant something else?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it all shakes out next week. That was the end of part one of this reunion.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes, everybody. Thanks so much for being here with us. We'll be back with Ladies of London a little later. And if you're not into that, we'll see you Monday. We have an Amazon Live this week. It's going to be at 2 p.m. Pacific time on Amazon Live. And then that's it for this week. And stay tuned for some announcements next week. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is sweet. Well, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sherratt.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.